your mouth.
Shut your mouth.
Or you out.
Or you out.
To figure out what it is.
I'm just making it down.
Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth.
Or you out.
Or you out.
To figure out what it is. How this click gets down.
Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth.
Or you out. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. By Oakland-based recording artist Johnny Pimp. That's with four P's. He walked away with two Grammys this year, one for best posturing and the other for most vulgarities in a 3-minute song. He's just 21 years old, so no doubt we're going to be hearing a lot more from him in the years to come. Some breaking news. Gunmen broke into an Oakland home and opened fire, resulting in the death of Grammy-winning recording artist Johnny Pimp. That's with four P's. More on that at the top of the hour. But first, Questionable Material with Jack and Brian. You are listening to Questionable Material with Jack Helmuth and Brian Sack. This episode, Jack auditions, car talk, an interview with Hunter Biden. Jack.
Yes.
I have a sad story to start the show.
Oh, okay. Please go ahead.
Well, it's an Irish drug dealer, and he learned the hard way, Jack, what every Bitcoin investor knows. Don't lose your codes.
What?
I actually didn't know that. I guess you have codes that you can't lose. So there's this Irish guy, and he was a drug dealer. So he was a security guard and beekeeper who started growing weed, according to this.
A security guard and beekeeper.
And beekeeper, which is a great combination. So he had Bitcoin. He started collecting in 2011, 2012. Then he had, in 2017, he had 6,000 Bitcoin in one account, but then he got nervous it could be hacked, so he split it into 12 accounts.
Do you have any sense as to how much money 6,000 Bitcoin is?
I'm going to tell you.
Oh, okay.
He hides the piece of paper inside the aluminum cap of his fishing rod case, which he leaves at this rented house. Then he gets arrested for weed possession and sentenced to 5 years in prison. Jeez, Ireland. And
wow.
So he goes to prison. So while he's in, his apartment gets broken into and stuff. And his landlord just like, just throw the whole lot into the dump. Oh, let's just toss it into the dump.
Oh, no.
So they threw his codes away. Without the codes, you can't access your Bitcoin. He had over 6,000 Bitcoin in 2017. $60 million.
No.
Yeah. He had $60 million. And his landlord tossed out his only Bitcoin codes. And there's no way to get there. That money's just exists somewhere in the ether, but can't be accessed. It's just floating around.
Wow.
And without the codes, there's nothing they can do.
I have backups for my, like, for my Yahoo fantasy sports leagues.
Yeah. PizzaHut.com passwords are hidden here, here, and here.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
This guy's got $60 million in 12 accounts and he loses the code. I mean, wouldn't you have a safety deposit box? Wouldn't you have, you know, one set of codes here at grandma's house and another set of codes hidden in the lamp?
But if you have $60 million floating in the internet, get some of that liquid and buy a house where a landlord can't dump your fishing rod.
Get it all out and just, you know, yeah, it should be floating in this weird cryptocurrency. But it says at the end of the article that Collins has since come to terms with his loss and considers it punishment for his own stupidity.
Yeah, I mean, the only people who get $60 million and lose it are like pro athletes.
Yeah.
Just like, whoops, I'm broke.
Yeah. Well, what happened? All my friends came over. Now they're not coming over anymore.
Exactly.
Wow. A lot of those lottery people, they blow through that money.
Yeah.
They get these mega jackpots and they're like, well, you're set for life. Nope. Because everybody comes out of the woodwork. Every relative, every distant friend, and you know, any charity, anybody comes up and milks it.
Is it? No, they're not losing their money through generosity. They're losing their money because they're like, oh, I need those extra Ferraris. And then it's like, oh, I didn't realize I had to pay tax on all this. And then 2 years later, they have nothing.
Yeah, there's, you know, they do the initial buy. I'm going to buy a car. I'm going to buy a boat. I'm going to buy a house here. I'm going to buy a house over there. And then, you know, friends show up. Hey, Bill, I'm trying to open a restaurant. I could really use a loan. I'm good for it. I'll pay you back. I promise. Hey, you know, I need this. Hey, let's get married. Oh, now let's get divorced. You know,
right. Well, walk me through. Brian Sack hits the lottery tomorrow.
Yeah.
What do you do? What's the first thing you do? You hit the lot. So you're holding the ticket with the six winning numbers.
Okay. What's the jackpot?
Let's go with $60
million. $60
million. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you have the two options, right?
Right.
You can do annual payments forever.
Yep.
Or you can just be like, I want
take
it all
the lump
now.
Sum.
But
but
the lump sum is usually 50%.
Yes. Because it's such tax at such a high rate. Yes.
I'd take the lump sum.
Okay. So you take two. All right. So now you have $30
million. I have $30
million. Mm-hmm. What's the first thing you do?
Buy more lottery tickets.
Oh, that, yeah. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Cause I mean, odds are you're good at picking numbers.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm just going to be like 17, 12, 3, 8, 6. Now just write it all down. Just keep having an assembly line of people filling out Mega Millions tickets.
So now you've hired a staff of people.
Yeah, I've hired a staff.
To fill out more lottery.
I'd have like 20 to 25 people.
Ooh.
On my payroll. And I give them full benefits.
You full bennies.
Yeah, full benny. Like, and you, I'm gonna be like, get pregnant if you want. I'll take care of it. It's on me.
Wait, you'll take care of the pregnancy?
Yeah, do diabetes, whatever you want to do. I've got you.
So you're covering diabetes and pregnancies.
Yeah, anything they want.
Anything that makes you bigger.
Yeah,
you're covering.
Yeah, and they and just sit down, and write those numbers out on the Mega Million tickets.
Because you just got to keep those numbers coming to keep because now that's your income.
That's my it's cash flow.
Because you're as like a judge would say, like in a divorce, it's sort of that quality of life has been established.
Yep.
You need to be making $30 million every, well, I guess, year, right?
Yeah.
About how much is that going to run you annually? You must have run the numbers.
Yeah, around $37
million. Okay.
To run my company the way I want to do it. Mm-hmm.
The right way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the ethical way.
Okay.
And I want to feel good about my employees going home in their stretch limousines.
Okay. Well, you're really taking care of the employees.
Yeah, no, because I want them to be happy.
Okay. And how's maybe your wife handling that? Because it seems like maybe there's not a lot of money left for the family.
Yeah, well, she would be annoyed about that, but I'd just be like, honey, it's for the good.
Mm-hmm.
I just say for the good. I wouldn't even say for the common good. I just say for the good.
For the good, yeah. Do you think then that she goes and leaves you and maybe is like, you know, making love to a guy in the limousine for like the lifestyle that she'd rather be living? Like for your employee who just fills out numbers on a sheet all day?
That would be weird. Like, she married one of the employees. Mm-hmm. It'd be awkward at like a company event because I'd have lots of company events.
Right.
And we'd have lots of dinner parties and stuff and I'd take them out and we'd have little festivals and things. We'd all go skiing.
It seems like you're really being reckless with your money, just so you know. As your friend, I should let you know that.
Just seems like I want everyone to be happy and have a big, happy company that writes numbers.
This is something, I mean, any knuckle-dragging idiot could do this. You could hire a bunch of sixth graders to just randomly fill in numbers. That's what they do on tests.
Yeah.
What are your projections in terms of how much money you're winning in the lottery?
Well, if I spent, $20 million on tickets.
Okay, $20 million on tickets and $17 million in staff costs?
On staff costs.
So that's
we want to have a nice
million office.
We'd have a nice Manhattan office.
Okay.
Maybe, in a nice building, World Trade Center or something, Empire State Building, something with a cool view.
Sure.
Some things we'd be like, oh, I got to go to the Empire State Building. Oh, you're a tourist? No, I have an office.
Oh, that's really cool.
On the 87th floor, dick.
Oh, what's
that? Yeah, I'd have a little attitude.
Really aggressive.
I'd have attitude. I'd probably have to hire like a diversity person. So I get somebody who got a degree in humanities and to teach diversity.
Uh-huh.
And so put them in charge of hiring. So we get like, I'd have like 25, 30 employees. It's just writing numbers, right? Anybody can write numbers.
Sure.
So I'd be like, hey, give me somebody from Spain who can write numbers. Give me somebody from Senegal who can write numbers. Give me somebody from Lapland and they can write numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I'd have people from all over the world. You just walk in and be like, oh my God, there's so much diversity. Like, what's that smell? Oh, that's her. She's making a special dish from her country.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it sounds like, and that's celebrated. She's sort of stinking up the office, but it's like, wow, we're so diverse.
Yeah. It's like, what is it? Oh, it's like goat pus souffle. You're like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to go downstairs to Sparrow and get a slice of pizza.
Mm-hmm.
But
to celebrate your Italian employees.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd have one of those. It'd be great. Abbondanza. Yeah. I just wave to him when I walk in. That's how you say hello.
That's how you say hello in Italian?
Yeah.
Is abbondanza.
Abbondanza.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes, boy, you know a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, except how to make money once you hit the lottery.
Well,
that's, so you've bought 20 million tickets.
Yep.
What do you anticipate? What are the simulations showing that you make off the 20 million tickets?
Like there's a good chance I could win. And then when we win, I would double up my staff. It's kind of like a pyramid.
Uh-huh.
You just keep doubling up my staff. So I win.
But one of those pyramids that always works.
Yeah, it's a working pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
So I double up my money and then then I get another jackpot and then just keep growing this company.
Wow.
And I'd call it Jackpot Inc. Because it's a cool name.
It's super cool. It's really creative. How much money do you think, at some point, are you ever going to just like take your money and live a luxurious lifestyle?
Yeah, I would like to, buy the presidency.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Jack.
Oh, hi, Brian.
Guess what?
When did you get here?
I've been here a while.
Oh, okay.
So my friend Brad, the movie director.
Yeah.
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
He's working on some movies. And for those people not familiar with this, I've got a friend. He's a director.
This is real.
And yeah, and he makes movies and TV show stuff.
Big movies, like $50 million movies.
He's done some nice movies.
Yeah.
So anyway, he likes to throw me these auditions that he thinks that you might be good for in the hopes that you get a role. So he sends me the scripts. He likes when you read cold, and that means you're not seeing my lines and you haven't seen any lines. You're just reading the script.
For the first time out loud.
First time, you have no idea what's coming. Because he likes to see a person read it and stay in character. And more, most important to him is he doesn't want them to break character or laugh. You do that and you're out. He just does not, he doesn't hire actors who break character and laugh.
Okay.
We've done this many times before. You failed to get any roles because of laughter issues, but you know, hope springs eternal and he keeps finding roles and he thinks you're good for it.
Right.
So he just sent me a few scripts, wants me to have you read for them.
Okay. I'll do it. I really want to get one of these roles.
Yeah.
I'm surprised by the way, how many movies he's got in development now.
He's super busy.
I mean, it's amazing.
Super busy.
Okay.
So now this movie is called Daddy Dearest.
Okay.
Okay. It's a Lifetime television movie.
Okay.
And you'd be
paycheck's
playing
a paycheck.
Ironically, the character's name is Jack.
You'd be playing
Jack.
Okay.
Okay. And the movie is Daddy Dearest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's a Jack is interior foyer of this house.
Okay.
Jack hears a knock and opens the front door. A scantily clad woman stands there holding a pizza box. Remember, no laughing.
Sorry. Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Just
shoot.
Get close to that mic just in case you do laugh.
All right.
All right. Hello, I'm Steven Spielberg's daughter, Michaela, and I want to do a sex on you.
Free pizza and a free spirit. Oh boy, this must be my lucky day.
Yes, it's your lucky day if you want to make whoopee with the daughter of famous director Steven Spielberg. Yeah, let's do it.
Wow, just out of curiosity, your dad is a billionaire and I assume you can do whatever you want. What's making you do this? I'm not complaining or anything. I'm just genuinely curious because it seems like a weird cry for help or something.
Being naked and showing my boobies is empowering. Yeah, I finally have control over my life. Look at my boobies.
Okay, sure.
Now I want to see your Indiana Jones.
Oh, wow. That's a real unfortunate euphemism, Michaela. I'm not sure that one is going to work for me.
I want your ET to phone home, if you know what I mean.
No, I do. I totally do. But again, it's just not titillating.
Oh, you said titillating. Get it?
I do. It's an actual word.
I like it. Sexy. Let's have a close encounter, if you know what I mean.
I do. Absolutely do.
Of the sexy kind.
Not necessary. I got it the first time.
I have total control over my career now. My daddy has no influence on my decisions. I hope daddy doesn't take me out of the will, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'd be thinking.
Thinking rhymes with Lincoln. I want you to emancipate my booty.
Man, you're driving me wild with references to your dad's films.
Run, Forrest, run.
Oh, God.
Into my lady lumps.
That's Robert Zemeckis, asshole. Sorry. Oh, God.
Jurassic Pork.
Okay, I think we're done here.
I'm ready, player one.
Stop it.
When I get through with you, your great white's going to be the color purple.
Well, you so didn't get that role.
I didn't get it from the interior.
Wow.
Gosh, it's amazing how hard I didn't get that role.
Oh, brother.
Shoot. And I even broke character to get angry that he thought Forrest Gump was a Spielberg film. You lazy dick.
That was in the Wikipedia.
Zemeckis. No, it's not.
It was in the Wikipedia.
It's incorrect. He didn't do Forrest Gump.
Then somebody needs to fix that Wikipedia.
Who
knew Wikipedia wasn't accurate?
Oh, but yeah, it's tough the first time you learn that. Wow. Okay.
That's a real shame.
That was close. That was a close one. Oh, yeah. I got creamed on that one. Okay.
You got creamed early on. I'm sorry.
Right. Okay. Michaela Spielberg, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. But she's got a bright future. This is a new Mission Impossible.
Love it. I love it. I love the Mission Impossible movies. I'm going to tighten this up. I want this role, whatever this is.
Okay. But here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Brad tells me that they want to replace Tom Cruise with somebody else. And he's thinking you.
Really?
Yeah. That's why he wanted you to read this.
Okay.
So you'd be playing
Ethan Hunt.
Ethan Hunt.
Yes.
All right. Interior.
Okay.
Bronson's office. Agent Ethan Hunt, that's you, mm-hmm. confronts Dr. Bronson in his office, high up in the World Trade Center. Behind Bronson is an expansive view of Manhattan at night. Well, Agent Hunt, at last we meet.
Yes, Dr. Bronson, I followed the trail of bodies and it led me here.
Unfortunately, when one has grand ambitions, one must remove annoying obstacles from their path.
Indeed.
By the way, I couldn't help but notice that you're much taller now.
I am very tall, thank you for noticing, but I'm not here for compliments. I'm here to stop you from killing millions.
Killing millions? What do you mean?
I'm here to put an end to Operation Vindication, your plan to detonate a device in the middle of the city.
Detonate? I'm afraid you're misinformed, Agent Hunt. Explosions are quite uninspired. My device disperses a powerful chemical agent in aerosol form.
I see. Cyanide gas? Ricin?
No, no. Gabies.
What?
Gabies, Mr. Hunt. It's like rabies, but instead of driving you insane, it makes you sassier. You'll have caustic wit, and you'll be remarkably good at gentrifying neighborhoods.
I see.
So no one dies, Mr. Hunt. They're just gay. A city filled with millions of gay men. Imagine.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking about it.
Imagine the nightlife, Ethan. And all the busy gyms.
And the parades.
Oh, weekly parades. It'll be fabulous.
So no fatalities?
None.
I need a moment to think.
By the way, you're also misinformed about the project name. It's not Operation Vindication.
What is it then?
Operation Vin Diesel.
Of course. How'd I do?
Well, I think you laughed there earlier on.
Yeah, early on. I feel like it's weird that he would call out that Ethan Hunt grew about 8 inches taller.
You think it's just 8?
I mean, I'm 6 foot tall, so I'd like to think maybe I have a chance at that one.
I'll talk to Brad.
Oh, damn. Well, his writing is fantastic.
Thanks.
You what?
I mean, yeah, it is good, right?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I'll tell him.
Okay. Hey, Brian.
Yeah, Jack.
I've got a little surprise for you.
Oh, I'm so happy about your little surprise.
You know how you like to collect...
Hey, Daddy. We didn't do Tuckin yet.
Oh, hello, little Jack.
Oh, hello.
Let me explain. Right now, we're recording this podcast at my house.
We are.
And my son is here, and it's actually...
Oh, he is.
Sorry. And it's bedtime. So, and he wants me to go tuck him in. Boy, how do I handle this? Jack, here, sit down.
Okay.
I can't believe you named him Jack, because your name is Jack. So it's kind of like, oh, what do we name him? How about my name? Oh, okay.
You name a child after the person who inspires you the most.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Your great-grandpa?
Yeah, he was a great man. So anyway, so Jack, boy, this is tough to have this talk now, but I think it's important to hear. You're almost, how old are you?
Almost 9.
Okay, so he's almost 9. And
he's going to outlive me, isn't he?
Oh, for sure.
That's sad.
And really, anyone listening is going to outlive you. This is one of those daddy son talks that I've always sort of told you about.
Ooh, I'm going to watch this.
Yeah. So sometimes daddies have what's called a podcast, and podcasts are kind of a big deal. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And because they don't just give podcasts to everybody.
Nope.
Only really, really special people and their semi-feminine friends like get podcasts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so just because I love the podcast more than I love you. No, it's okay. It's okay.
Boy.
It's okay. Hey, keep it together. Just because I love the podcast, because this is the important part, doesn't mean I don't still love you.
Okay.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
So I can love both of you and just love the podcast more. But, you know, when I'm not doing the podcast or thinking about the podcast or checking to see if we have any new reviews on the podcast, I'd love to spend time with you. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
Okay. Does that make sense, Brian?
Yeah, it's super nice. Yeah, that's very loving.
Yeah, thank you. Because I love him. I definitely do.
Yeah, yeah, no, I can tell.
A distant second.
Yeah.
And don't get me started on the daughter. I don't want you to, when you close your eyes in a few minutes and drift off to sleep, I don't want you to think about how that if there was a fire in our home, I would rescue the podcast before I rescued you. Because if I could rescue you both, I would. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's a really nice thing, okay?
You're very understanding, little Jack.
So now what I would like you to do, because it's podcast time and I really need you to go now.
Okay.
Okay. You, hey, thanks for being a guest on our show. Okay.
Wow. See you in therapy, Jack.
See you in therapy.
I don't go.
That would show weakness, Jack. And Brian doesn't like to show weakness.
Read yourself a book. It's good for you.
Yeah. Go read a book or something. Here. Okay. All right. Bye. I love you.
Bye.
Not as much as the podcast, but I love you though.
Okay.
Okay. So where were we? I remember back in the day. I remember when I first heard about you.
When you first heard about me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I used to be a big fan of the show Car Talk.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And not a lot of people know this. Maybe you've forgotten too, that you used to be one of the co-hosts on Car Talk.
That's right. I was.
Yeah.
Yes.
For about how many years did you do Car Talk?
Oh boy. I'd say 3 years I was on Car Talk.
Wow. Yeah. That's a lot of time. That's a lot of phone calls talking about
Car Talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of time to be talking about cars.
Yeah. Well, cars are my passion.
Well, that makes sense. You were on that show for three years.
Yep.
What happened?
Car Talk.
Why only 3 years? Because I would love to talk to you about cars real quick. But first tell me why only 3 years?
We grew apart kind of like Hall and Oates.
Do you ever see those guys anymore?
No, we don't talk.
Really?
Yeah. It's like the Mythbusters guys. We don't get along.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's no talk with the Car Talk guys.
No, it's car silence.
That's so sad.
Yeah. It's car shunning.
Would you maybe start that show like Car Silence?
Car of Silence?
Mm-hmm.
We did a show, Silent in Cars with comedians.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So we just get in the car and just drive around.
I think we have a clip of that.
Yeah, here it is.
Okay.
So you can see why that lasted two episodes.
Yeah, that doesn't seem, I did not want to hear any more of that.
Yeah, that was Bill Burr out of Boston. He's normally very loud.
He's loud and hilarious.
Yeah, not when he's silent.
Now we have the clip of you and Dave Chappelle, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear that real quick.
Turn right at the next street.
Okay, and that was Dave Chappelle?
That was Waze.
Oh, that was Waze.
Yeah.
And so Chappelle didn't want to say anything?
It was Silent in Cars with Comedians. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the rule of the you don't talk.
Okay. I was thinking about getting like, I want something like a 1960s Jaguar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are the benefits of and perhaps drawbacks because of having like a cool 60s Jaguar?
60s Jaguars have a lot of personality.
Oh, okay.
The problem with a 60s Jaguar is it doesn't have airbags.
Mm-hmm. That's a problem.
Yep. It doesn't have the cross shoulder seatbelt,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't have safety glass. So when you get into an accident, the glass is designed to decapitate you.
It's designed to do that, you said?
Yeah, because you know back then without the airbags and stuff, most crashes were fatal,
mm-hmm.
and they don't want you lingering and slowly bleeding out on the scene. The idea was to make it as painless as possible.
Right.
So any kind of high speed collision, the windshield is designed to remove your head.
Okay.
As quickly as possible so you don't feel pain. It's a precursor to airbags.
Oh, so that's sort of what came first.
Yeah.
So they just want to make sure the company motto was to keep suffering down.
Yes.
They just wanted to kill people right away.
They knew, you know, you're going to drive into a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you have a serious internal trauma.
Yep.
You're going to be sitting there and slowly bleeding to death internally.
Right.
It's not fun for you. It's not fun for the kids screaming in the back. It's not fun for anybody.
Right.
So this way, the windshield detaches and removes your head within a millisecond. You feel no pain. You're not bleeding out. Mm-hmm. And you're
not bleeding out?
No. I mean, you're not, you know.
How would that be?
You're not bleeding internally.
Okay. Because I mean, I imagine once that head comes off, I imagine there is quite a geyser of
Yeah, it's blood. All coming out your head, but you're not bleeding internally anymore.
Right. Oh, that's pretty external.
Yeah. And
I
more
see
importantly,
what
you're not feeling pain.
Mm-hmm. That's very important.
Yeah.
It seems like maybe you could, there are chances to survive in car accidents, though.
Not in the 1960 Jaguar.
Really?
Yeah.
100%. Fatality rate, a perfect record.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, once you hit that trigger,
mm-hmm.
It's going to detach the windshield and decapitate.
And like, what would the trigger be? Something like a 75 miles an hour?
48 miles an hour.
48. Okay.
But, sustain a collision at 48 miles an hour will cause the windshield to do its job.
Man, how'd that sell?
Yeah, it was a, you know, popular car, but a lot of the original owners died.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, people were not willing to buy a car that was completely covered in blood.
So it's a real resale issue.
Yeah, huge resale issues.
Okay. That's interesting. And you, now I know there's been, I've done some research on cars from like the 1950s. Like I love that era. It's such a cool, those cars
have
such
a cool look. Time.
You said there are also some crazy safety features on the 1954 Hudson Hornet.
The Hudson Hornet, yeah.
Very sort of cutting edge, but strange safety features in that car.
That was they had the whiplash loop.
Okay, what's that mean?
It's a string, basically a rope that goes around your neck and attaches to the headrest to keep your neck from kind of getting whiplash in the event of an accident.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
So did it work?
Nobody got whiplash.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
What happened to them? Were they just able to walk out of the car as good as new?
A lot of them suffered serious neck trauma as a result of having a rope around their neck connected to the headrest.
Oh, yeah. I guess if I think about it.
Yeah. And then the side view mirrors, let's see how objects in the mirror are closer than they appear.
Yeah.
They're way closer. And what would happen is if you hit the sun the right way, it would blind you, blinding, like it would burn your retinas.
Really? Mm-hmm.
It was like Indiana Jones.
Yeah, when he holds the staff of Ron.
Yeah, it's just like the beam hits the side view mirror and then bounces right into the car, into your eyes, blinding.
That seems really strange. Like at what time of day would that happen?
Pretty much any day, but anytime but noon. Like, you know, between
anytime but noon?
9 a.m. to sunset. Like noon, you were safe. And that's why they nicknamed that call the Nooner. Because that's everybody would do their driving right around noon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they would drive the car around noon, but any other time when the sun was actually coming up or going down was super dangerous to drive.
So at cloudy days and nighttime, I imagine,
not a problem.
We pack in the family.
Yeah, exactly. You'd plan your trips around the sun not being out.
But then God forbid, I mean, because, you know, weather is not, you can't necessarily count on a weather forecast, I imagine.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's a strange feature.
Yep.
So the 1956 Ford Continental, you said had some amazing luxury features that were, you know, again, sort of ahead of its time in terms of features that you would put inside a car.
Yeah.
Can you sort of talk us through that and how they were ahead of their time?
Yeah. It had a foot bath.
for the driver?
Yeah, driver's side foot bath. So you could soak your feet and drive at the same time.
Interesting.
So, and it was just, you know, it was very relaxing.
Okay.
Very, you know, get the toxins out of your feet.
Get the toxins out of your feet just from resting it in sitting water.
Yeah.
Okay.
It had a Pepe.
What's a Pepe?
It's a little Mexican gentleman who lived in the trunk.
Each car had a Pepe?
Yes, yeah.
Wow.
They would call them all Pepe, even if some of them were different names, Carlos, whatever.
Okay.
But they could access the car. They'd come through the middle of the seat. So you could call them with a buzzer.
What do you need? Your Pepe.
Yeah. And then Pepe would come like, yes. Like, Pepe, could you fetch me some tissues, please?
You don't have to take your hands off the wheel.
Exactly. Pepe, what time is it? Cause you're supposed to look straight forward.
And so the Pepe, and again, so he lived in the trunk.
Yeah.
And then would he be released or ejected in some way when you pushed a button?
No, I mean, you push a button to buzz him and he would pop open the seat back.
Okay.
And then he'd come out and say, what can I get you?
And the Pepes, was that an additional cost to the car? Like you had to pay the Pepe?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you had to pay the Pepe. That's where that phrase came from in the 50s, where it's like, well, you got to pay the Pepe.
You got to pay the Pepe. That's exactly where that's the etymology of that phrase. Yeah, that's where it came from.
You know, I always wondered where that came from.
Yeah, the origin of that. Yeah, you got to pay the Pepe.
Yeah.
Time to pay the Pepe.
And then it eventually came in to pay the Piper.
Yes, it changed over time.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And the Piper was the guy who used to polish the pipes.
Was it really?
The car, yeah.
And why would you have to pay him for polishing your pipes?
Polish the pipes in the car. Because back in the 50s especially, you wanted to have super shiny pipes.
Why couldn't Pepe do that?
That wasn't in his contract.
So he had a contract.
Oh, yeah. He had certain things he was willing to do and others that he wouldn't touch.
Okay. Well, that certainly begs the question, you know, what sort of extras could you ask Pepe for?
Well, I mean, his job description was to, he was in charge of opening and closing windows. Mm-hmm. So you'd buzz him and you'd say, Pepe, I'd like to put the driver's side window down, say 50%.
Okay.
And he'd say, okay. And then he would climb onto the roof of the car. And there were little access points in the roof where he would put a dowel in and then smack the dowel down to push the window down to about 50% or whatever you wanted.
Boy, so he just wouldn't roll it.
No, there was no roller.
There are no rollers. Okay. And, but no, I meant, could you ever take advantage of your Pepe?
In a naughty way?
Yeah.
No, no, they're eunuchs.
Were they, was each Pepe? I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh. For our eunuch listeners, which are plenty, I apologize.
We have the stats tell a big story.
25% eunuch listeners.
Yeah, on mobile devices.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm okay. Were they born eunuchs?
No.
No.
Yeah.
So a Pepe would come and sign his deal with Ford, and then what would? So he signs the contract. Mm-hmm. Like, congratulations. They shake hands. You're now an employee of Ford. What happened to the Pepe next?
Well, the signing ceremony.
Oh, there's a signing ceremony.
Yeah, which
consisted of what?
They're removing his testicles.
Okay.
They remove his testicles and then they introduce him to the car that's going to be his home.
His new home.
Yeah. And they get him acclimated to it. They show him all the features. All right.
Yeah, I'm just sad thinking about all the Pepes.
They loved
just
it.
Chokes me. Did they?
Oh, of course.
Really?
It was a good job. It was a good living.
What sort of coin did they take home?
Whatever you left in the tray was theirs.
Oh.
That was one of the rules of the car. Whatever you, any coins you leave in the coin tray.
It almost sounds like goblin rules or like troll under a bridge where this seems like there's some sort of financial compensation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's that. And, you know, you had to feed them.
You had to feed your Pepe. Mm-hmm. What do Pepes eat?
Anything you give them.
I hear like a lot of kids that's, you know, instead of feeding like the food they didn't like to the dog, they would sneak out to their Ford and open the trunk and feed the Pepe.
Right.
With like their meatloaf that they didn't like or whatever.
Yep.
Wow. My goodness. And when did the Pepe program stop? And for what reason?
The summer got really hot.
So you'd push the button on a hot summer day and
no Pepe came out.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It was they abandoned the whole Pepe thing.
Wow. So you would then have to take their little ballless body and dispose of it?
You bring it back to the dealer. It's like a recall.
Okay. And just say, hey, it hit 85 degrees today. I lost my Pepe.
Yeah. I went to work. They left the car in the sun. And when I came back, the Pepe didn't work.
Man, Ford must have taken a bath on this.
They did. Yeah. It was the worst thing they did until the Pinto.
So, Brian.
Yeah. Jack.
So, here's what I wanted to let you know.
Yes.
Is we have Hunter Biden here today.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, it's a pretty big deal.
It is a big deal.
And so, we get to interview him. We're not going to be... this is going to be no holds barred. The gloves are coming off. We're going to ask him questions. We're going to get in his face. Yeah. We're going to get the truth. Mm-hmm. I have no agenda with this man. Mm-hmm. I have no beef with this man, but I'm going to go where the truth takes me.
Yeah.
And I would like you to join me in my quest to interview him with no agenda.
Yeah.
So our next guest is Hunter Biden.
Are you kidding me?
What?
Is it a leap year? I'm looking at the calendar. There's the 29th.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
No, it's not cool, Jack.
Why?
Oh my God.
Why? What?
Because I have to drive upstate to the cabin and adjust the thermostat.
Okay. Why?
Because I didn't anticipate, it's in vacation mode.
Yeah.
We're not going to be there for a long time. I had no idea there was a 29th of February. If I had known that, I would have changed my programming. Everything could go on the fritz. The cabin could catch fire.
Like a Y2K type of thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but that was nothing. This is not going to be a thing.
You say that, and then next thing I know, I drive up there, and there's like a burnt out cabin in the middle of the woods.
You have insurance on it?
I didn't. No, of course not.
What?
Why would I insure it? It's a cabin in the woods.
So it's like a $80 thing where you just sort of put a bunch of trees together?
Kind of. It was a project I did with the kids.
Okay, that can go. You don't need to, stay here. This is Hunter Biden.
Kids would be devastated if that thing caught fire. And it can catch fire when there's a 29th of February. I had no idea. Nobody tells me about leap years. Jeez.
Whose job is it to tell you about leap years?
Isn't there a leap yearologist who's supposed to tell me and let me know by text?
No, that's...
They failed. You had one job. They failed. I got to go.
Okay, fine. Go. Just go.
I'm sorry, Jack.
Get up and
I really
leave.
Wanted to talk to the Hunter dude. I did.
No.
I did.
No, otherwise you'd stay. There's no reason for you to leave. Go ahead. Go. Go save your cabin.
29th of February, Jack. I had no idea.
I know. It's the same as the 28th of February or the 1st of March. It's the same.
I'm going to walk up these metal stairs.
You're going to walk up the metal stairs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ask a lot of questions.
Fantastic advice. And be careful on the stairs, okay?
Yeah.
Those are really, it's my house. I didn't even know there are that many steps.
Like the Eiffel Tower. Jeez. The Eiffel Tower.
No, I heard it the first time. It didn't warrant a response.
France.
I know where it is. It's okay. Bye. Sorry about that, everybody. That's the lack of professionalism will eventually catch up to this podcast, but I'm not going to let that stop me. Hunter Biden is here. Hunter, why don't you come in, sit down, put on those headphones, and Hunter, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Jack.
You're welcome. Hunter, you have been in the news a lot lately in the last 3-4 months.
Yeah.
What has that been like for you and your family?
It's been very trying. I'm a very private person.
Okay.
I don't, necessarily want to be out there in the forefront. I understand as the son of a vice president of the United States and mm-hmm. one who's running for president now, mm-hmm. there certainly is going to be some attention paid to me. I mean, that's understood.
Okay.
I've gotten used to that and it's just something I learned to deal with.
Okay. So you're saying that you're definitely the victim here.
Well, I would love more privacy and less focus on my day-to-day activities and my life.
Well, that's interesting. So tell us about your day-to-day activities. What is life like for Hunter Biden?
Well, it depends. I have a lot of irons in the fire, mm-hmm. which is an expression we use. And
who's we that uses it?
My friends from Yale.
Uh-huh.
Irons in the fire.
Oh, that's okay. You think that's a Yale-y thing?
It is. Devin and I use that. And, we say irons in the fire or kit and caboodle. Uh-huh. Say when we mean like everything.
Right. Right.
It's just a Yale thing. We have funny expressions.
No, I guess so. Tell me what it was like, the admission process to Yale, because Yale, you know, one of the top three universities in this country, mm-hmm. an absolute fantastic school.
Excellent school.
Ivy League, you know, as good as it gets.
Yes.
Only the best students in the world go to Yale. What were your grades like? What was the admission process like? I mean, it must have been really hard getting in.
Well, I don't remember my grades exactly.
Oh, okay.
But I do remember, and this was back before the internet. Mm-hmm. And so all the colleges were in a big blue book.
Yeah.
You got a big, big, thick blue book that listed all the colleges. Mm-hmm. And my father came home one night and he put the book in front of me. And he said, pick one. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I see this big blue book and it's just very big.
Right.
And it's blue and I have no idea where to start. So I just kind of opened up the back. I flipped it over kind mm-hmm. of Japanese style.
Yeah.
And I opened up the back and I looked down and I saw Yale. Mm-hmm. And I looked at it and I was like, you know what? 4 letters, easy to remember. It's in Connecticut. It's in the neighborhood. I'm going to go there.
Had you not heard of Yale before?
No.
So you just said to your dad that I'm going to go here. Don't you mean I'm going to just apply to the school?
Oh, I pointed to it. I said, this one, Papa.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was his response to that?
He nodded knowingly.
Mm-hmm.
And he took out a little post-it note and he put it on Yale, okay, sticking out of the side of the book, and he closed the big blue book, mm-hmm, and he left the room.
Do you know where he went after he left the room?
I'm assuming he went to do the application.
Uh-huh. A lot of times the kids do the application. You didn't have a part in that?
No, I didn't. He's all hands on deck kind of person.
Okay. Cool, I guess. And so about how long did it take for you to find out? I mean, you know, it usually takes 4 months to sort of get your acceptance letter. Was that about your experience?
No, I got a phone call 25 minutes after Papa left the room. And, you know, I was there, the phone rang, and then I heard my father in the other room. He's like, Hunter, it's for you. Mm-hmm. And so I picked up the phone. I was like, hello. And it was the admissions officer from Yale.
No kidding.
Congratulating me for getting in.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And so your grades must have been outstanding in school.
Yeah. Well, they graded in Roman numerals.
I see.
So C is 100.
I understand.
So C, 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 C. Mm-hmm. Those are all hundreds.
So your dad told you at your private school that they just graded in Roman numerals.
They grade in Roman numerals. Yeah, that's what he said. Mm-hmm. They grade in Roman numerals. And I looked at the C's and I said, what is that, Daddy? And he said, that's 100. C equals 100 in Roman numerals. Oh. So I saw English C, 100. History C, that means 100. Mm-hmm. Math C, that means 100. Science C, that means 100. Mm-hmm. And music C, that means 100. Spanish C, that means yes.
Oh, that's very good. Yeah. It seems like you and your dad have a really good relationship.
Yeah, no, he's great.
Yale is an expensive school. I'm surprised. Oh, yeah. Even back then, I'm surprised you didn't come out of there with, you know, geez, even back then, maybe $40,000, $50,000 in debt.
No, Dad looked at me knowingly and he said, don't you worry about it.
Okay. So I guess he just paid for it himself.
I think he had a coupon, quite honestly, because I don't recall him paying for it.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah. It's really good. But you know what
it
is?
I think a lot of it had to do, Yale needed some favors.
Oh.
And Papa helped Yale get what they need.
So, I mean, like maybe he helped them, maybe as a guest lecturer or something?
No, they wanted to clear a neighborhood to build a dormitory.
Oh.
And so, you know, Papa can make those things happen.
He can just make a neighborhood go away?
Yeah. It's called eminent domain.
Oh, yeah. And I've heard of that. That's interesting that a C student would know what that is.
Well, the funny thing is I thought it was eminent domain for the longest time.
Oh, that's really
like,
funny.
Oh, you were going to give that to me right away. That's imminent. Uh-huh. But it's eminent.
When did you figure that out?
Just like 2-3 weeks ago.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. I got a book of the one with all the words in it.
A dictionary.
Yeah. I have one of those.
Oh, you have one of those now.
Yeah. And I was flipping through that and I saw eminent. I'm like, what does that mean? And I'm reading it. And it's like, oh, eminent domain. Oh, now I understand. I've been saying it wrong all these years.
Okay. And you made
it's like a song lyric, you know, excuse me while I kiss this guy. Dee, 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 dee. Mm-hmm. It's not kiss this guy.
Right.
It's kiss the sky. I didn't know that. Did you know that?
I definitely knew that. Huh. It's weird that you would think that. And you made it through Yale for 4 years without a dictionary.
Right. No, you don't need it.
What's it like going to class? Like, you know, what was the class that gave you the most difficulty in school?
The most difficulty?
In college.
In college? Mm-hmm. Well, the class that was the hardest for me was the math one.
The math one?
Yes. Because the teacher wanted to give me a bad grade.
Okay.
Because I didn't go.
Oh, you didn't go to those classes?
No, because it was very difficult.
Yeah, who needs that?
So I didn't go, and he was going to give me a bad grade. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, he settled for giving me 100.
Oh, really? What changed his mind? Did you do like extra credit? Did you like make up extra work?
He was hoping to get on tenure.
Okay.
And he had said, I remember, and it was kind of, I don't know if he was hinting, mm-hmm, but he said, boy, to get tenure would sure help to have a letter on official stationery from the White House saying, give this guy tenure.
Oh, that's.
And then he just kind of looked at me and he did this knowing wink. Uh-huh. And I looked at him and I was like, what does he mean by that? And then I just mentioned it to Papa. And then he said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it.
Okay.
And then sure enough, he got tenure.
Oh.
And I got 100.
Do you think Papa had a tenure coupon?
It's quite possible. He's tons of coupons.
I bet he does. You know who else gives out a lot of coupons is, you know, that store, the Clinton Foundation?
Yeah.
They make a lot of coupons too.
Not anymore. They just kind of dried up.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. After Hillary wasn't president,
uh-huh,
a lot of people stopped giving money to the Clinton Foundation.
Oh.
I don't know. I guess because they felt they wouldn't get any coupons out of it.
Oh, that's so strange. Yeah. They would stop that. Did your papa ever think about starting the Biden Foundation?
We have a few foundations and things. Yeah. Yeah. There are definitely ways you can give us money if you want to. There's the Help Hunter Fund, which is geared towards me.
Okay. And that's a charity. That's a licensed charity.
Yeah. It's a 501c3 wink, wink.
Oh, okay.
That's the tax.
For tax status. Purposes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Do you think maybe you get special treatment?
No.
Okay.
No. No, mm-hmm. No.
Give me an example of you not getting special treatment. That you're an average Joe.
I am an average Joe. Mm-hmm. So imagine this. So when you're in your chair, mm-hmm. and the cleat polisher is polishing the individual cleats on your golf shoes, right? Okay. And you're leaning back and you have the manicurist on each hand. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's not a lot you can do.
Right.
Except stare at the giant gold statue of yourself. Right. And that gives you a lot of time to think.
Okay.
And I was looking at that and I was thinking, I don't get special treatment.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for being so relatable.
Thank you.
And listening to what I said. I really appreciate that. Well, now, how has it been being Joe Biden's son? In the dating world. Now, I know you've been married twice. Of course, first to Melissa. First to Kathleen and then to Melissa just last year.
Kathleen and Melissa, yeah.
Yeah, Kathleen, who you married in 93.
Yeah.
You guys were together for 14 years.
Yeah.
How did you meet Kathleen and how did you wind up falling in love, getting married?
Well, Papa said, he said, I got somebody I'd like you to meet. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, okay. And he said, she'll be coming over tonight to join us for dinner.
Okay.
And he took me aside and he put something in my hand. Mm-hmm. And he closed my hand on it. And he said, just wait until after dinner.
Okay.
So all of dinner, I have this in my hand. I don't know what it is. I'm just eating with my right hand, my fork hand.
Yeah.
And I'm just eating. And I'm eager. And everybody's like, why aren't you, Hunter? Why aren't you using a knife, Hunter? Why are you not cutting your food? Why are you sticking the entire steak in your mouth on the fork? Because I have this thing in my hand. And then
I'm surprised you have to cut your own meat.
Well, our meat cutter was out. Oh, she was ill.
That's a shame.
And then at the end of dinner, I look over and Papa looks at me and he gives me this little nod.
Okay. To look at the hand.
Yeah. And so he goes, Kathleen, Hunter has something he wants to show you. Mm-hmm. And so I put my hand out and I open up my hand and you're not going to believe it.
What?
It's a diamond ring.
No. Yeah.
And so and he looks at me, I know I have a good connection with Papa.
Uh-huh.
And he looked at me and I was like, I know what he wants. And so I got on my knee and I said, Kathleen, I would love to spend the rest of my life with you.
How long had you guys been dating?
I just met her that night.
Oh, that's interesting. Had you spoken to her that night?
Well, no, I was so preoccupied with my one-handed meal eating.
Yeah.
I didn't get a lot of time to talk to her.
Okay. And how was she giddy? A lot of times when someone proposes, it's a very emotional, big, grand event.
She was stunned.
Uh-huh.
She kind of looked at Papa and Papa said, your daddy's a big developer, right? Your daddy needs help with acquiring some lands and permitting.
Okay.
And she nodded and then looked at me and I smiled and I assume her heart melted.
Okay. That's kind of a tale as old as time.
Yeah.
That's really sweet. And how was your wedding night? Were there sort of fireworks between you and Kathleen?
It took a while to build.
Okay.
Yeah. And she was not familiar with me or my quirks and I was not familiar with her and I didn't know what that thing was.
Which thing?
The thing down there. I don't know what it is.
And the lady or the boy?
The lady.
Okay. And so you didn't know what that was.
Well, funny between you and me, I thought her pee-pee fell off. And that's what I kept saying. I kept saying, Kathleen.
That's alarming.
I said, Kathleen, your pee-pee fell off. And she just looked at me like, what? It's like, your pee-pee fell off. Your pee-pee fell off. I'm going to call Papa. And she said, please don't call Papa. And please don't tell anybody my pee-pee fell off.
Now, have you since learned that that's not?
Yeah. Oh, now I know. Uh-huh. Now I know.
So you were in your 30s when this was happening.
Yeah. But now, I should have known. I got 100 in science, but I didn't.
Okay. How would you ever need to involve your papa to help with relationship problems.
Yeah, he liked to mediate. He knows how to make negotiations. So yeah, when things got rough, I would call him. So I'd be like, honey, what do you want for dinner? I don't know, Hunter, what do you want? Like, I don't know. Oh, Papa. And I'd pick up the phone and call Papa. Mm-hmm. And he'd, then she'd get a phone call shortly afterwards and then hang up and go, okay, it's Salisbury steak.
Wow.
Yeah. It was good. It was delicious.
I bet it was.
Yeah.
What lessons has your dad, as a father, as sort of a big figure in your life, taught you to be a good dad to your own kids?
Well, the most important thing is to hire the right nanny. Mm-hmm. Because they're the ones who are going to be spending 20 to 24 hours a day with your child.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you can't go cheap. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you don't want to just hire the first thing who strolled off the boat. Mm-hmm. Somebody who barely speaks English. So you really need to get a very, high-end nanny. We have a nanny with an English accent, very posh, mm-hmm. gorgeous physique, very, very attractive.
Oh, okay.
Young, very intelligent, very well-spoken, mm-hmm. exactly what you want when somebody's going to be with your kid that long.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. But I mean, her attractiveness doesn't.
You definitely, matter. Well, it does.
Why?
Well, because you have to look at her. If you're looking at somebody who's not attractive, you're going to be like, who is this unattractive person walking around my house?
Right.
Who is this unattractive person coming back with the baby? Who is this unattractive person taking the baby to the hospital? Mm-hmm. Who is this unattractive person?
Shouldn't you be doing that?
Well, I've got things to do.
Like what?
Well, I'm on the board of a bunch of different companies. We have meetings and phone calls, emails that I have to respond to.
Wow. It sounds like you're really a heck of a businessman.
I've got a lot going on. Sure.
So you answer emails sometimes.
Yeah. No, I'll get an email. I'll be like, oh, okay. Got to respond to that.
Like, what was the last email you got from one of your businesses that you help run?
Have you heard from your dad yet?
Okay.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, no, I've like, oh, forgot. I should have put it in my calendar to call Papa.
Right. About how many businesses are you on the board of?
It's just hard to know because these things just keep falling in my lap for some reason.
Uh-huh.
I think people just sense that I'm good at business. Uh-huh. And so they're like, oh, you're good at business. Would you like to be on the board of our company?
That's neat.
We're going to pay you some money. Oh, by the way, can we make a phone call with your dad next week? And be like, oh yeah, Papa.
So it seems like your nanny does a lot with the kids.
Yeah.
How much time do you spend with your kids?
Sure.
I was looking for an amount of time.
If I'm home at night, I will always open the door, look in the bedroom and make sure the kids are there, close the door.
Have you had a lot of nice chats with your kids?
Yeah. I mean, usually it's the same. Daddy, can you hook me up with Grandpapa?
Oh gosh, your kids use you as an access point to Joe Biden?
Well, they love Grandpa, sure.
Why? Because he like lets them have extra cookies and stuff?
He lets them create legislation.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's neat.
Which a little kid loves to do. They love to feel like they're contributing.
Yeah. I mean, every once in a while you let your kid sit on the lap to drive a car or whatever and hold the steering wheel or something. But
yeah.
Seems kind of sad to me that they just seem to use you to get to your dad. Do you find that to be true?
You just kind of don't notice it anymore. It's like taking the same route to work every day.
Right.
It just becomes the routine.
Are you worried about what life is going to be like when Papa's not around?
I hadn't thought about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it seems like maybe.
Well, when Papa wins the election.
Oh.
Let's see, that's 2020. And then he's guaranteed 8 years.
Nope.
So that's 2028. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's going to have to be alive for at least another 8 years.
Yeah. You are a sweet, sweet boy. You know that?
Thank you.
You're welcome. I wish nothing but the best for you. I think you've only had the best ever. And so I wish that to continue for you.
Thank you. It would be hard to get used to not having it, wouldn't it?
Talk to me again in April.
Okay. Vote for Papa.
Okay. I was wondering if maybe your Papa could come and do our show.
You want to have him on the show?
Yeah. Could you call him for us?
Yeah, I can call him.
Yeah. Just maybe go in the other room right? Because otherwise, because maybe we'd accidentally not air this unless you call your Papa. Right
now. That would be sad.
So maybe just call him, get him to do this podcast. And then I think we'll definitely have time to air this interview.
Okay.
Okay.
Will do.
Okay. So get on out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Good job, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Good job. That's all the time we have for questionable material. Be sure to like us on social media. Sign up for the newsletter. We'd love to get to know all of you better. And thank you so much for listening. We will see you next week.
That was questionable material. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Make sure to review the podcast. Make sure to visit qmpodcast.com for episodes, show notes, and bonus material.